I'll call this meeting to order. I'll open us in a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us today, God. And I want to lift up Truett today, Father, for you. I ask that you give him your healing, your peace, and your comfort. And to the Thexton family, Father, I just lift them up to you and pray that you comfort them as well and give them guidance. And just pray for a good outcome for everyone involved, God. And I pray for Pam tonight, Father. I pray that you continue to make her stronger and help her feel better, God. And I pray for your guidance in this meeting and help us all make good decisions for the best interest of this school. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Mm-hmm. We have no patrons, so everybody, y'all met Scott and Deanne, right? They're from the service center. You know, we talked at the last board meeting the last regular board meeting, I told you I was retiring. We needed to start looking for somebody. And from what I gather, the consensus was trying to find somebody to do it for y'all. And I think these two right here are very, very capable of doing a good job of finding someone. Agenda, Mr. Backus wrote the agenda for me, and it may be a little confusing, but the first part is basically deciding whether you want to look for a new superintendent, which you do, so we'll all agree to that. The number five is considering someone to help you do it, or you do it yourself. And then if you decide that you want somebody to help you, number six is voting to have that group do that for you. And like I said, I would recommend the service center to do it. One, because it's free. And two, these people are very, very capable of finding someone good for Klondike, I believe. So I just wanted to explain those four. Because they were very confusing to me when I first got them too.
Lawyers can't hold to that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I guess now y'all can deliberate and talk about whether you want to find a new soup or whatever, which I know you do. But I guess if you read the motions, it might make a little bit more better sense.
Okay. Number four is to deliberate and take any necessary action regarding the procedure for advertising, interviewing, vetting, selecting, and hiring a new superintendent of schools and any other matters related thereto.
So someone would make a motion and someone would second. And
that we're going to start the search.
That we're going to start.
That's just searching.
Right.
I so move.
We got a motion. Justin made a motion. Quentin seconded it. All in favor? It's not opposed. Kelly?
And then the next one is just if you want to do it yourself or you want to get somebody else to do it for you.
I'd like to know more about what that entails. Like, if somebody else does it for us, does that mean that we don't get any say in the, or like, how much control? I know they find it, but like, how much does it relinquish control?
You know what? I hear it says search assistance.
Okay, that's all I want. You know, because I know some firms just do it. Okay.
I was going to say, let us kind of talk through and y'all stop us.
Perfect.
And I will both talk through it. And then you can decide what.
Okay, no, perfect. That's why I just wanted more information.
Yeah. No. But to get to jump to the chase. It's your school.
Okay, I saw it.
We don't vote.
This is your new superintendent.
We don't. We don't bring you
a couple of candidates.
That's what the government. Governments do that.
So are y'all good to just jump in and you can go backwards on your?
Yeah, that's
agenda.
Sure.
Is that good? Okay. So go to that next slide, I guess. Yeah. Just so you know, this isn't our
first rodeo.
Yeah, not our first rodeo, but. You can kind of see, and we've been in this business about 7 or 8 years, and I think there's close to 50 by the time you count some of them twice. And really the reason that the service center chose to get in it was because there were a lot of searches from other parts of the state that were coming into our region, and a lot of times, you know, those searches do bring their, hey, we got a person from the Metroplex or whatever, And not that you won't have somebody from the Metroplex apply, but a lot of times it just felt like it was, they were tending to bring in a lot of outsiders. And again, sometimes that's exactly what you need. But we just felt like this is our, service is our middle name. We work with every school in our region. Nobody wants you to get a superintendent any more than we do, because we turn around and work with them. We mentor them. We see them several times a month. We sometimes help with their finances. And so it matters to us who you get. And so that's the reason we chose to get in the what you call it, business, I guess. But there's some other, TASB, TASB Legal does a search. There's a group, Keith Bryant, what's Keith's?
Impact.
That does a great job, and Keith is in our region. So there's some other, at least, you know, two now. And TASB, I guess it depends on which person they send. But it's just something we've done for several years. It's, you can see the schools that we've assisted with. And again, there's probably a few not on there that we've just forgot to add. Dr. Warwick was our executive director. Likely he won't be one of the ones out here, but the next, probably three of the next four faces, including Deanna and mine, could be people that kind of are part of the process. Let's see. So
this is my first rodeo, obviously.
So he's our boy, Wayne. Some of you may know Wayne. He was at Sands years ago. I say years ago. It's probably been 15 years now, a while. He's the executive associate executive director. Then, and Wayne may very well be, I think he talked to you, he could very well be one of the ones that end up out here on the night if you should choose to go with us. Phil Warren, I don't know if any of these are familiar faces or not. Phil was he's a retired superintendent from Shallow Water. Then Mark was at Leveland for years, and then the pretty ladies sitting right over there, and the ugly old bald guys right here. Yeah, but all the five of us that would probably potentially be involved have all been sitting superintendents. So, you know, we know what it takes to do that job at least. So we're not just people who don't know what it takes. Okay, let's see. Let me catch up here. If you were to ask us to assist you, then we would actually sign an MOU, memorandum of understanding, at some point just to enter into that. There's not a fee associated with us. There is the only fee if you were to go with us. At one point, Texas ISD is a website that does a lot of advertising for on behalf of schools and superintendents. They charge, I think, is it $200 or
$250?
Yes, $200. And they put, you know, your timelines, your date. They're one of the places we go to. The other two are free, but they're one of the places we would suggest that you advertise. So I think that's the only fee that you ever end up seeing from us. I guess go on there, Deanna. Okay. This one, I'm gonna kind of walk through it a little bit slow, and Deanna, jump in if I miss anything. And I think I kind of covered, you know, not everything in life, not everything's free is good. So I don't want you to think we're free. So, but we just, again, we, and Klondike Schools pays the service center for some of your services. You send teachers to us. And so, you know, we get, Deanna and I get paid when we come out here, Wayne, whoever comes out here. So it's not like it's totally free. It's just free to the district as part of our Region 17. There's 57 schools in our district. What we do, as far as what part we would take care of, all the applications would come to us. We have a server, and it sorts, we kind of get given by whichever schools are working on at the time. So those applications come to us. And then when we come back out, we don't hold any of those applicants from you. So, and some search firms may do that, and that's, I'm not saying that's good or bad, it's just not what we do. So if somebody applies with you, you're going to see their information. And you can imagine if you're in a Metroplex and you get 75 applicants, you know, maybe you don't want to see but 20 of them, you know. Here, whoever applies, you're going to see their information. Number three, it says we assist the district in the recruitment. And really what it is we just collect that information. We collect the letter of interest, which is key. You know, it kind of tells you, hey, why do you want to be part of the Klondike School System. Resume tells you, you know, where they've been in the past. There's also one thing that we, that's not on there, but we ask for a job history. And so it's kind of a, the last, at administration, you get to see, rather than just looking through every, you know, job they've had, which is on the resume, this one kind of narrows it down to the most recent that are administratively based. The next one, let's see, this is super important that this remains confidential. And so we ask that if it's us assisting you, when we go into executive session, those names don't go out. Let's say there's 25 people apply for your job, 24 aren't getting it.
Don't want to.
And you know, they've got to go back to their schools. And you know, when that word gets out, you know, people, you know, that board may get, hey, they're not happy with where they are, or they're, and there's just a lot of confidentiality that goes to that. And we take great pride in that. If they choose to tell the world they've applied for the job here, that's their business, but it's not our news to tell. Now, when we get to your finals, then, you know, there's some folks that they have to begin notifying and that kind of thing. But early on, that confidentiality piece is huge, especially for superintendent of a district. So, number five there, the contacts, with applicants, the references, all that, we kind of take care of that until we get to your final. So I'm jumping ahead just a little bit, but our recommendation is always, once you see all of your applicants, then you narrow it down to what we call a first round interview, and that's generally, we recommend six, and you interview those six, and then from there you narrow it down to three. And again, it's your school, so if you say we want to do four because we like those four, or we only want to do two, the reason we always want to be careful with two, because if somebody backs out, and they do sometimes, now you just hired superintendent by default if you only have two in the finals and one backs out. So there's a rhyme or reason to why we would recommend, you know, the six and then narrow down to three. In fact, when we start at six, we even would recommend that you have an alternate there, because, you know, somebody may back out, you know, or maybe they do go in and tell their, maybe their principal, they go in and tell their superintendent, you know, I'm going to apply for the job at Klondike, and their superintendent said, well, I wasn't ready to announce this, but I'm retired, and I really think you'd be a good fit. Next thing you know, you don't have your applicant that you thought you had. So, or, you know, somebody's, all of a sudden the money got a little better. Somebody came up with a different title for them, or maybe it was a superintendent, and they decided that, hey, maybe we've been underpaying this person, we'd like to lock them down. Or so, so now fast forward. Once we get to the finals, which we call, let's say we go with, you have three applicants. At that point, we set up conference calls with three of you, three board members. You can't do four because that's a quorum, which would make it illegal. So three of you, and that's up to you to choose who they are. And let's say it's a sitting superintendent that applies, then we would get their board president and three of you, and get on a reference call, in essence. If it's a sitting principal, let's say, then we would get the whoever's the most direct, you know, supervisor, basically. So if it's a sitting principal, then we would get their superintendent on the line, and you can ask whatever questions you want to ask them at that point. And so that's jumping forward once you get into that second round. Let's keep going down, and I'll circle back to some of that. I know I went real fast. Number six, I think, back up real quick, Dan. I meant to say something on that. It says, assist the district in developing written questions. We have a bank of questions, and we would recommend that the first round, they all get the same questions, because you want to be able to compare them. Hey, this one answered it this way. When you get to the second round, you may have a person, I'm just making up an example, that has been at five places, and your big question might be, man, why did they move around so much? So you might want us to tailor a question that speaks to, can you please describe your reason for leaving each of your last three stops or whatever? And, you know, a lot of times it may just be, man, promotion, or more, you know, better work environment, or, you know, whatever. But, you know, or you have somebody that, trying to think of a very specific question. Oh, doesn't have an ag background at all. And you, hey, that we need to ask this one, what, you know, what do they know about showing in Klondike, Texas? So that's a concern. Yeah, somebody's only been in a big school, you know, how would you, you know, so we can custom make questions at any point for that, for a particular applicant. Yeah.
Did y'all come up with an application also for them to fill out, or?
Well, actually, go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, it's a resume with that letter of interest.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the letter of interest, really, that's one of the first things we do when we come out. We bring you all the applications. We'll have a PowerPoint, but we also have stack of all the applications. And that letter of interest is one thing we always want you to read first. Kind of tells you a little bit about them. You kind of get a feel for them before you even look at the resume. And so we do the letter of interest, and then we look at the resume, and then we'll go through the PowerPoint and let you.
Yeah, so picture, let's just pick on Deanna since she's here. And let's say she applies to be your next superintendent of schools. We would have that PowerPoint, and it would say Deanna Logan. It would have a picture, either one they included in their resume or one that we've got off a website somewhere. It's kind of iffy whether or not it's legal for us to ask them for a picture. So, but it's not, if they have a picture on the website, we can yeah. pull those. Most people, a lot of them actually will put a picture in their resume, and we use those. But then it would say Deanna, it'd be a picture, you know, all of her places she's been with some description. And then, of course, that letter of interest, Deanna mentioned it. That is so key. You know, that kind of says it all. You know, and some of them, you know, they want to choose to talk about their faith in there. You get to see a little bit about that. If they talk about why they, you know, want to be a part of your school system, you get to see that. So that we tell the applicants, put a lot of thought in your letter of interest, because that kind of says it all, you know, generally. Okay. So when we, if we were to proceed with this, we would ask that the district have a designee, and that can be Steve, that can be your board president. And so somebody that's kind of our go-to as far as just questions that might come up along the process, and, you know, setting up those interviews and getting the times and just a lot of the legwork that goes into that. Skipping down to number 10, let's see, meet with the board. Okay, and one of the things that I think is so important, and I was when I left Sundown, when I retired, the board had some internal applicants. They only had 3 internal applicants. They didn't open it, so they asked me to do the search. And of course, I know a lot more now that I'm on this side of it than I did back then. But you know, the legal, how do you post it legally? The questions, make sure that the questions you're asking are legal questions, which in today's day and age matters, I promise you. But to make sure it's properly posted, and the agendas, you know. So when we're getting ready for that first round interview, we send Steve, you know, he said David did this one. Well, he did. You don't have to pay David anymore. We can send him an agenda of here's how that, here's what you have to post legally to interview applicants. When you get to the end, here's how you post the lone finalist. Past that, here's how you hire a superintendent 21 days later. So all of those things, that's our knowledge base, I guess. And that's, and if Steve calls and says, would have said, hey, they want to do the search, which right now Meadow's doing the search on their own. And there's somebody else, I believe, but Southland maybe did their own. We will help. We'll still help them. And they're calling us to say, hey, can you send us the verbiage to post these things? And we certainly, even if it's not us doing it, we'll help in any way that we can, just because that's a big one. And you don't want to be in a lawsuit because you didn't post it right, or you didn't give long enough for the lone finalist at 21 days or whatever. So so to me, those are some pretty big ones. This isn't on there, but if you want us to, for example, and I know I'm not wanting to insult the size of your town, so don't, if you know, but like a Leveland, for example, they wanted us to meet with their Chamber of Commerce and kind of ask questions about a profile. Some of the smaller schools want us to meet with their site-based committees, and some of them don't. You know, they know, it, you know, it's board's job, and they say we'll take the input or whatever. But anything that you would request of us in that process, we will meet with. Levelland is a, shouldn't mention names, but at one point they wanted us to meet with the current cabinet administrators and kind of get, we met individually and kind of got a profile of what they wanted for their next superintendent. That's the site base, you know, is just from that teacher community perspective. Or sometimes the board just said, no, we just, let's roll with the search. So I don't think you're going to see that anywhere, but no, it's your school. We'll meet with anybody that you want us to prior to kind of build a profile or whatever. Let's see. Okay. That's what we will do. Now we get down to the district. That number three, pay all costs associated with the superintendent search, that's that $200 to TexasISD.com. And we would ask that till you get to the very end, that number two is big. I've kind of harped on it, but you know, when word gets back out to somebody and they hadn't told a soul, and that confidentiality piece is really big. It's a little different with teachers. It's not the same. And even ADs, for example, you know, a newspaper can call and by law ask for you to post the or identify the names of your applicants. Superintendent's different. You're not required to release that. And so they just hold that at a little different standard, I guess.
And sometimes it's innocent doing it, is you may know someone like, oh gosh, they're from Baird ISD. I know someone from Baird. I'm going to call and check on them. Well, they know what you're doing, whether you say it or not. So a lot of times it can get out in a very innocent manner. So
yeah,
that's why we ask to contact, because we will contact someone. If Baird's a good example, Region 14 Service Center, we can contact the executive director, associate executive director, or field service agents. And we all know that confidentiality and say, hey, do you know this guy? Do you know anything about him or her? And what do you know that we wouldn't know on the paper? You know, just give us, often they'll say, you know, yes, like, this would kill us if you took this one. They're so good in our region, and, you know, we know really that that's the one we're going to look at. And then they may say, oh, they're solid. And you're like, oh, let's check that, you know, let's wait and see. So we get a lot from the service centers, and then they understand that confidentiality.
And then when you add the four field service agents, Phil, Mark, Deanna, myself, and then Wayne and Dr. Wargo, there's six people who've been superintendents in our region for a combined, I don't know how many, 100 and whatever years. So we just know a lot of people,
right,
in our region. But our directors know a lot of people. And we know a lot of people outside our region, too. Deanna served on state committees. I was on the commissioner cabinet and served on. I mean, so it's not like we only know people our 57 schools. We feel like we network pretty good throughout the state. So, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, when we, you know, sign on to help, if that's what you want, we've got a pretty good network of who's out there that's pretty good. You know, and again, we don't have a vote. We're not telling you who to hire.
Sure.
We, in fact, we won't. You won't hear us tell you because we'll ride off on the sunset and they're yours. And so, but if there is a red flag in somebody's, you know, an arrest or somebody got bought out, or it's going to be our obligation to bring that to you.
Absolutely.
Somebody entered into an agreement. We're not going to withhold that from you. So when I say we don't interject unless there's something in their person's, a skeleton in their past that you need to know about. And so, and I think we've got a pretty good network. And so on any given night, there will be two of us out here. But that doesn't mean that the other five or six aren't, once that list starts coming, and do you know this person? Can you call this? Who do you know at Baird? Who do you know it? We do end up kind of getting you some, as much information as we can about your applicants. Have I missed anything before we
any
go on?
Any questions on that?
Yeah, I've covered a lot so far.
District
back
Shadu
up and
or?
You know, you say you will bet them, and you know, we've hired teachers and coaches from other places, and you call and get they're just the best, and then we get them here, and they're awful.
Yeah.
I mean, so y'all really check.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just like she said, that you say, oh, yeah, they're great. We'll hate, we sure would hate to lose them. And then, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
And there's no perfect indicator, but we don't, you know, to me, when somebody lists references, those are probably some of the last ones we call.
Exactly.
So we're going to know somebody in that town, in that school, in that, because if I put somebody down as a reference, I better think they're going to say good things about me. They're probably not. So we kind of go way past those reference lists, dig quite a bit deeper.
And what I would add to that, too, is just overall, it's a fit. That's why you are the best people to select your next superintendent. Because on paper, someone can look really good and be very successful at another district and not be the right fit. That's why we won't. I mean, we may go, oh, man, they've been so successful. They're good. We know them. We're going to share all that information with you, but we're not going to, like Scott said, we're not going to push one way or the other because it's a fit. And we both have heard great things about Klondike ISD, and Steve has done an outstanding job, but we don't know your community. We don't know your district like you do. So it's the fit. We'll bring you that information, and some of you can go, yeah, we've heard that before, but we'll see. And that's hopefully... The first interview is about an hour. We stick to 1 hour. And so shooting those questions at them, you get a feel for them. Second interview is about an hour and a half. And they bring their family. Are we still doing that?
If they invite. Yeah. So, yeah.
They don't have to bring them, but they can bring their family, if they have a family, children, spouse. And then we actually interact with them. We don't interview them, but interact with them, then let them go out and finish and interview the candidate.
And every now and then, somebody might, I think of one of the recent searches, had a daughter that was in high school, that they weren't ready to, so that, we explained that to the board. And then we've had them that they were, and they were all part of, they're all part of the family. They come up and they sit over there for the first few minutes with the mom or dad or whichever. And you get, it's neat when you can see the family. If they're young kids, usually, that, not to always stereotype, but usually they bring the younger ones. If they've got a high school that they haven't shared it with yet, because they don't know if they're going to get the job yet, sometimes they don't. We've had them bring college kids that don't, hey, mom, dad or mom's looking for a new job, bring my tech kid, and they sit over there for a few minutes with mom or whatever, and that's been kind of cool. But that second round is where Our goal is that you really get a chance. We really encourage them to bring the spouse if they have one, just because that you can see body language. You can see, and you, there's a chance to ask that person a few questions about your community. Deanna mentioned something. I should have started with this. This is a great place. And I'm not just saying that because I'm here. We get to go into every school. In fact, we do the one of our other duties as assigned, we do the door safety audit. So I was out here,
Not too long ago,
and your security guy showed me around, and man, you can tell when you, well, first of all, you can tell when you drive into this lane that leads to your school, the pride in all your facilities. But then you come in here, and as your kids are walking the halls, and not that we're interacting with them, but you can just tell that it's a different place. And so my point in telling you that is, man, you're going to get some great applicants. I have no doubt, because this is a desirable job for somebody that would either has kids that wants them in your school system, or, you know, whatever, who knows what their situation is that would lead them to you. But I have no reason to believe anything other than you're going to get some really good applicants.
You don't think it's too late in the year? We'll probably have quite a few applicants.
No, this is...
prime time.
Yeah.
It's a little late.
Superintendents, I wouldn't even say that. You just never know. We do them in the fall sometimes, and the fear from the board is that nobody's going to leave a job in October to come. Superintendents or a principal going to a superintendent job, it's just different timelines. You know, a teacher, you know, would never dream of leaving her classroom in October, or, you know, certain coaches, ADs do. Principals don't. They generally finish the school year. Steve is finishing your school year, but the timing for me of yours is perfect. as far as, there's not a lot, a few winding down in our region, and who knows, we might have, there might be three tomorrow that we find out about after spring break, sometimes they start rolling, but a lot of them are kind of either finishing up, and they're just different. You know, Health Center was open, it's a little bigger, just a different, you know, you might not attract the same applicants as them anyway. And so when I say perfect, I don't ever know what the perfect time is. We run them whenever, you know, the board asks us to do it.
We've kind of got a timeline.
That we'll, yeah, we'll get to, that kind of shows you.
And it's just suggested, it's not in stone, can adjust it as necessary. Maybe next, I don't know.
Yeah, let's.
If you want to go over all that.
Yeah, no, so the MOU, if you choose to do that, we get you to sign that, just an agreement.
So everybody will sign it, and that's, part of that is the confidentiality.
And we don't, Deanna, I don't want to speak for the service center right here, but we don't care, we can leave, and y'all can talk about it, and leave you a copy, and Steve can sign it, or we, here at the, I don't want it to be awkward where, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or whatever. I would say, back to your question, whether it's you or us, or you don't want to wait too much longer, just because when you see our proposed timeline, it kind of gets you, I think Steve's into June, and it kind of gets you right there. So you don't want to, and you can always cut down how long you take applicants, which I don't think you want to do that either. The one I think we show maybe will be about 6 weeks. But I would say you don't have a ton of time to be just contemplating how are we going to go about this either. So let's go to is that
it's,
these are just some things that we want you to think about if you haven't already. And I think Steve said it's been 23 years since y'all did a superintendent search. And so, man, these are just things you probably haven't thought about in a long time. You may know what you do. You know, salary, you need to know a range that you think you're going to pay your next person. You need to know, you know, your benefits, you know, what are you going to pay? Travel is always a big one. You know, there's some superintendents out there that have a school vehicle. And is that what you, is that your current Klondike on the side? That's what you do. There's other places that say, no, we're going to pay our travel allowance or whatever, and he takes his own car, she takes her own car, and that's how we do it. That's whatever you're comfortable with. That does not matter to us, but it will be a question from superintendents. What's the, you know, what, because if you're a superintendent like we were, and you go to every night, you're going somewhere, you know, I think we all love our, I loved Sundad, and you loved Rawls, but you know, that's several hundred dollars a month of fuel. And so, and our districts were always fair to us, but that's whatever you're used to. The school car is a great option. Contract length, we would always recommend a 3-year administrative contract. And there has been some legislation, if it scares you that, man, we're signing up for somebody for 3 years, there's been recent legislation, in fact, this year, that says if you enter into a separation agreement with your superintendent, I think it's 4 months.
It's five months.
Yeah. You're not. So when you say that, what if we hire and a year later, are we going to pay him 2 years? The answer to that is not anymore. And it used to be really the most anybody ever got was about a year. But now that's changed to help the district if you ever have to enter into a separation agreement. We would always recommend you pay the professional dues to the organizations that moving expenses. I'd say probably 75% of the schools, you think that's accurate, agree to pay help with moving expenses for their superintendent. Some don't. That's your, but that could be a question that we're asked. Residents, I'm assuming, but I don't want to do that. That you want somebody to live within your district boundaries. There's been, you know, some districts that we've done recently that surround Lubbock, that real estate has gotten crazy. You can imagine some of the schools I'm talking about that decided we can't require a superintendent because we're not sure they can afford to pay one of your old stomping grounds, I think, afford to buy a house in our district. So they've kind of waived some of that. So the next one, do you have the school? Is there school housing here? Okay. So that's, you know, up to you. Do you charge? Is it free? Is it part of the you know, are the bills paid, are, you know, do you, so, again, things you probably know the answer to, we're just bringing it up. Of course, criminal history is pretty, in today's day and age, you just better do it. So here's some things that we, kind of generic things that we would suggest that we would put on your postings. You're going to need a Texas superintendent certificate. The only thing I would say is you may have somebody out there that's finishing it in June, and if they call and ask us, we'd just be very clear in saying, put that on your resume. You'll have, by the time this position's in place, you'll finish it. No doubt, we speak every year to the LCU superintendent classes and get calls from other universities too, but we tell them, if you don't have it when you're applying, note it. Tell them, I don't have it yet, but I will have by the time your first day of your job. We would, you know, they need administration experience if they're going to be the superintendent. Knowledge of school curriculum, finance, more important than ever, and it's changing rapidly. The old template that Steve runs and we all ran, that Omar changes how many, 15 times each year from the state, is a bear. School finance is tough, so but you want somebody that has at least an aptitude to learn that or a good basis on it. And those are just some things that we would suggest you list in your posting as far as what you're looking for. What's next, Deanna, the timeline? Okay, and again, it's your search, so we're just telling you what some dates that we looked at that might work. So we would put, I think that's a Friday, that is May 22nd. That would give you, assuming we could get it rolled out in a flyer and get it posted, you know, by no later than the first of the month, then you could, that gives you a solid 6 weeks in there. What we found is a lot of your really good ones, two things. You get a bunch right off, second we hit send, you start getting applicants. And then toward the end, you get a lot of times some of your really good ones. Well, I say that. So maybe you get a really good one early that knows, hey, I've been hearing about that one. I'm putting in this. I got an application ready, and here we go. Second I see it posted. And then you got some people at the end that maybe are in really good positions, and they want to think about it. They want to pray about it. They want to drive to your community. They want to research your website, which, man, they will know, some of your applicants will know as much about your district as some of you do. It's crazy how much research they do. So you get some really good applicants late also, generally. Then that week, we would need a night from you guys somewhere in there. And I know that might be graduation, that might, who knows. So, but we would need a night that we could go over, and it's probably at least a 3-hour process to present every one of your applicants. And then, we would, and again, I think I'm putting them, that's a Monday, June 1st, and so is June 8th. That first round, we would need two nights. And again, all these dates are negotiable. We're just showing you what we think it would look like if you want somebody in place by the 1st of July. And then that second round that we spoke of would be so go back to the two nights. We have started at noon and done six applicants just back to back to back to back to back on one day because the board just couldn't come up with 2 days. And we would say you need all seven of you. I mean, it's not like, well, we got a quorum good enough. No, we really want any time it's for the all seven of you here. So either two nights and three each night for that first round, or one long day. And you guys decide if you can work it out or not, or we can start at two, or, you know, however you want. It does not matter to us. Then the second round, generally probably have to start that 4 or 5, because these are closer to hour and a half to hour and 45 interviews. So if you start at even a 5, now you're into 10, 11, and then you're deliberating. And so, you know, that last night, you want a little time to think through, pray through, you know, your finalist. So then that night, on the last night of interviews, you name a lone finalist, and that is a legal posting. And since you guys haven't done it in 23 years, we'll talk through it a little bit. You can't actually hire a superintendent the night you interview them. you name them what's called a loan finalist, and then there's a 21-day waiting period, basically. And it's to protect you, and it's to protect the applicant. And really, during this time, you kind of finalize their contract. And I guess worst case scenario, something arises that you just say, hey, we can back out, or they have that 21-day where technically they could back out. And again, superintendent, the state, it's done as it's the most important position a district hires. So you don't have this for your principal. You don't have this for your athletic director. You don't have it for your second grade teacher. But for superintendent, there's a 21-day waiting period before you can hire them. So then at the end of that 21 days, and you know, we would want you to do it as quick as you can, whatever that be, July 1st or June 29th or whatever. We would want you to call a special meeting, and that's when, again, the language would reflect we're hiring the superintendent, and somebody would make a motion to approve the contract as presented, which would include the dollar amounts and the whatever vacation days, the school suburban, whatever you end up with in that contract. So, and then it's a pretty quick turnaround, because now just think, we've said we're going to hire them on very end of June, but I looked, the 4th is 4th Sunday, I think. So you would actually, want them to start pretty quick. They can't start to work inside that 21-day period. So,
The 5th is a Sunday.
5th of Sunday?
Mm-hmm. So it'd be the 6th.
6th, okay. So that one would need to change.
You mean y'all don't meet on Sunday?
Hey, they're going to be up here working, get ready for that next day. So that's kind of a crash course in how we would go about assisting you. And really, when we say assist, that's what it is. We do so when I go back however many years ago in Sundown that I did, we just had 3 applicants. That sounded simple, right? Well, and it would be for me now, but back then it was like, okay, I got to set up them. I got to get them interviewed. I got to post everything to make sure it's legal. I'm not sure looking back how, maybe I missed something in there. But that's the main reason that I would say a firm would help. It's still your school. It's still your decision. It's still your applicants. It's still, we just feel like it's really important to do the things for you that you wouldn't normally know how to do. And you can figure them out. You're smart people. And again, we'll help in any way that we can, even if it's not us. But what questions do you have of us as far as the search process?
If we wanted to, would it be realistic to bump up the deadline since, we get out of school before the 22nd?
Okay. Graduation is the
22nd. Okay. I just didn't know if that's even a realistic option for y'all.
We talked about that potential.
Like if it was April 22nd or I don't know.
April.
I guess we're at March 22nd, so it'd be a month difference. I was just curious.
Yeah.
That's, a month may push it.
Yeah.
I'm splitting that. Okay. Splitting that to.
Because that's at 6 weeks, right?
Yeah. In a perfect world, we'd love to run it 6 weeks, but we could absolutely cut that back to May 10th.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to, again, it's your search.
Everything up while everybody's still, I don't know.
And then the thing that you end up with on a positive is, let's just say that bumps you into mid-June, that they're actually potentially starting. You could have a few days to overlap which is honestly super beneficial to come in and say, hey.
And you think about the both teacher transition and all of the school.
Yeah. So we could change those dates.
You're right, it is 8 weeks. That's 6 weeks is at the 8th, May 8th.
Okay. I guess it depends when we get the go-ahead to post it. If it's us. Or we have a flyer that we'll show you here in a little bit that's very rough. I think it shows your JV football instead of your
–
but we were flying to get something together just to show you kind of a flyer. And so there's 3 places we put it. Pass those out. We can talk about those too.
Well, I would just want to say that Texas ISD you're talking about, to me that's worth the 200, 200.
Yeah, people go there.
Because I go there once or twice a day to
see
the news articles and stuff. Yeah. So, I think that's your One of them's your JV.
It is.
If we were to get somebody, what's the number of days that they would have to resign? Like, if they're a superintendent somewhere else, what's the number of days that they would have to resign before the...
Well, they wouldn't. We would tell them not to resign before. They don't have a day at the... Like, you're talking about the teacher, last day of instruction, whatever.
They don't have one of those.
No. But we would tell them, do not resign until they hire you.
Correct.
So they wouldn't resign until that 21-day, that night you hire them.
Not
but there's not a... Like a teacher, it's a
right.
30 days before the last day of instruction. That's not
okay.
The case for superintendent. So,
once the name long file, once the district knows.
Correct.
Yeah.
We better start looking, even though it's not official.
And none of your numbers are plugged in there. And so, in fact, we would rely on y'all to get us the pictures you want. She pulled some of those off your website. In fact, all those are off your website. But they're
so,
not.
We send this out. So we do a blast.
Oh, yeah.
So
talk about that.
We send a blast to superintendents. It just depends. But usually, like, administrators in the... Actually, we started doing it statewide because there is a shortage of educators. So we've noticed in the last several years that our number of applicants have been lower. So we send a blast out statewide, usually school administrators and above. So they get a copy of this that they can open and see that. And we see how many people it reaches, how many people open the email, and we'll know. And it sometimes gets us people from Alaska, to be honest
mm-hmm.
with you. But it also gets this into people's hands that go, hey, I hadn't really thought about going to West Texas, but let's take a look at this. So that's where we share this, and they see it. Immediately, when they see Klondike ISD, they're going to go to your website. So I definitely make sure that's up to date and shiny. And I looked at it today, and I thought it looked good. I was only on it for about 10 minutes, but I thought it looked good. But that's really the two areas that they're going to get in Facebook, get information about your district, is through this flyer. And that's really the information they get there that they probably wouldn't get off your website is what Scott was talking about, was the kid facts, the financial facts, the employee profile, just all your finance, general fund, revenue, fund balance. So they'll get that from here. And then we hope to make your district shine with what we put on here. So we definitely want your feedback. That's what Scott was talking about. It depends on when we're ready to be able to blast this. We can move pretty quick when you tell us to, but we really want this to look good. So what we would do is go back. I'm not going to lie. We realized we didn't have this at about 4. So that's why.
Well, you did pretty good then.
Yeah.
It's for a crash course.
We'd send it to Steve and take a look, and he'd say, yeah, that looks good, or you know, if there's something you want to highlight here. I noticed your Blue Ribbon School for 2015 and 21, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's pretty big.
That's pretty
yep.
big. So might put that somewhere. Yeah, that's awesome. Scott had a Blue Ribbon School at Sundown Elementary. There's not many in our region, so that's really a big deal.
It is
we should
a big,
be proud
it was
of that.
A, yeah.
We are proud of that.
Very proud of that. So things like that we want to make sure are in there. Not that they're not going to go find that, but we really want to make sure we're